Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we're able to gather again to worship and praise you. Thank you for bringing us through another week. We pray this morning, Lord, especially for those who are in harm's way with the hurricanes. We pray that your blessing and anointing would be on them. Most of them won't have a chance to go to church today. We pray that you'd minister to them right where they are. May they feel your presence and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Join with me now as we sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. I invite you to join now in the litany as we begin the sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. Our litany is appropriately entitled, The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven,
remind us that we have a heavenly parent who loves us unconditionally. Remind us that we are your children. Remind us that we are all brothers and sisters.
Hallowed be your name.
May the way we live, the way we talk, the way we show love to our neighbor give honor to your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Help us to allow your love and grace to flow through us, that others may experience your kingdom. May we seek to perfectly obey your will here, even as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Teach us, Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. Remind us that because you are our shepherd, we have all we need.
Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors.
Do we really dare to pray this way? Forgive us as we forgive. Show us that it is only as we forgive others that you can then forgive us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
May we continually seek to live so close to you and your will that temptations will not have opportunity to take root in our minds and hearts.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Prepare to go to prayer this morning. Are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? I've already mentioned the Turner family to you. Also, we need to lift up those storm victims. And watching the frustration of it all on the news yesterday, you know, people who wanted to get out, but there was no gas available. People who wanted to go to shelters, and many of them were either closed up or filled up, or they had to go somewhere else, or people that would go to the stores and nothing they needed was on the shelves. Folks, there are a lot of people that have it rough. They mentioned yesterday that some of the people that lived in some of these areas were in the big mansions, you know, and they named some of the stars that live there. If you've got a few million dollars laying around, you can make do somehow. You know, you can call New York City and have them bring a catered meal down to you in Florida if you want to, but a lot of those people, they don't have the resources. They don't have a plan B, a plan C. If this doesn't work, I don't know what we're going to do. So do be praying for them. Think of all the people that had to leave pets behind and all the people up here that have children and grandchildren down there. Okay, pray for Philip. He's going to have back surgery.
I have a nephew that lives in Miami and he's too stubborn to leave.
I wonder where he got that from. Okay. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we give you thanks and praise for your love, for your care. We pray this morning, Lord, especially for all of those that are in harm's way, those that have gone through Harvey, those that are facing Irma. We just pray that you'd watch over them. May they feel your peace in the midst of the storm. May they feel your comfort, your strength. We pray that you would be with all of those thousands of volunteers who are stepping up to try to help them in this time of need. We pray that you would give them strength and compassion. Watch over them, Lord. We thank and praise you for your goodness and for your care. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is going to happen to us this week, this month, this year, that us and God together can't handle. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with all of our leaders. So often, Lord, when you're in a position of power, it's easy to get your eyes off the goal. It's easy to forget that we are one nation under God. It's easy to forget that in God we trust. We pray that you would guide and direct each one of them today. Whether they are the ones we voted for or not doesn't matter at this point, Lord. We have the opportunity and the obligation to lift them and support them in our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for loving and caring for us. We pray that you would be with all of those who are facing physical difficulties, those facing surgeries, those facing procedures and tests, therapy. Those of us, Lord, that realize that we're no longer in the springtime or the summertime of our lives, remind us that land of eternal spring is coming. There'll be a time when we're asked to take that next step, to go through that next doorway, and we'll have eternal life in all of its fullness. Thank you, Lord, for loving and caring for us. We pray now that you would fill our hearts to overflowing with your love and care, that we might go out into the world and make a difference through your love for your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Ushers, would you please come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Join with me now as we sing, "This Is My Father's World."
Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve,
several years ago, about 100 new words were added to the Merriam-Webster dictionary. We had words like bikini wax, brain freeze, chick flick, hazmat, and Wi-Fi, or as some of the later TV shows put it, Wiffy. I don't know if you use Wiffy or not, but it's one of the new words that's out there. It's kind of interesting. We're overwhelmed today with words. They're conversations, newspaper, radio, TV, cell phone, email, Twitter, blogs, Facebook, etc. Think back with me. Think back, maybe for many of you, before your first television set. Or maybe not for some of you younger folk. Not many years ago, we'd get out of bed, go to work or school. During the next 8 hours, we'd chat with coworkers or fellow students, and return home. And then we'd sit on the porch or in the living room and talk with our spouse and kids, or just read the paper. Maybe the phone would ring and we'd answer it. Maybe it wouldn't ring at all evening. Today, from early morning to late at night, we're bombarded with words. Radio, television, iPod, text messages, apps on our smartphone, Twitters and tweets. Words coming from all directions. Do you realize that Lincoln's Gettysburg Address has 286 words in it? The Declaration of Independence has 1,322 words. A while back, there was a federal regulation that came out regarding the price of cabbage. It had 26,911 words. Sounds like our government, doesn't it? This morning, as I mentioned, we're beginning a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. And depending on which translation you read, the Lord's Prayer has somewhere between 50 and 66 words in it. In these few words, we discover God's guidelines for our brief journey on this earth. A while back, AP News, Associated Press News, reported that a woman was suing the Roman Catholic Church of Rhode Island and a cemetery for $250,000. It seems that for 17 years, she had visited her husband's grave, placed flowers on it, and prayed, several times a week for 17 years. Then she discovered that the cemetery had placed her husband's headstone on the wrong grave. Her husband was actually buried in an adjacent plot. In her lawsuit, she claimed that she suffered emotional trauma and that all of her prayers had been wasted. Oh my, people are funny. The radio crackled and the message came over it. Is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? Please, somebody help me. My husband has passed out and I do not know how to fly a plane. These were the words of a very desperate North Carolina woman whose husband, an accomplished pilot, had just died of a heart attack while flying their small plane. She was now 3,500 feet above the ground with no idea what to do. She didn't know how to fly the plane, and more importantly, she didn't know how to land it. Her only thought was to press the button on the microphone and pray that somebody would hear her. Fortunately, someone was listening. He was a seasoned pilot, and he calmly instructed her step by step to a perfect landing at the airfield. Prayer is sometimes like that for us. We're in a desperate situation and we wonder if anyone is listening. The prayer that Jesus gave his disciples has six main points to it. One way to remember those six points is C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. C means concentrate, focus. Our Father in heaven. H, hallelujah, praise. Your name be kept holy. R, God is the ruler. Your kingdom come. I, that's me. I need. Give today the food we need. S, Savior. Forgive our sins. T, triumph over temptation. Don't let us yield. We need to realize this morning as we begin this series that the Lord's Prayer begins and ends with praise. To pray effectively, we must first praise. Before we can praise, we have to have a right heart. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I had not confessed the sin of my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Now, there are times when God understands if we don't praise and go through the ritual first. Think of a truck driver driving a gasoline tank truck over a mountain. He's on a downgrade and he knows that just a few thousand feet ahead there's a switchback. Up north, we used to call them hairpin turns. Same thing. And all of a sudden, as he goes to slow this gasoline tank truck with a load of gasoline on it, he discovers the brakes have gone out. The pedal goes all the way to the floor. The truck is picking up speed. He can see the curve up ahead. Now, I don't think that he's going to pray, "Oh, thou great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we acknowledge and extol thee, and we offer thee honor." No. If anything, he's probably going to say, "Lord, help me." God says, "Wait a minute, you didn't do that right." No. God understands our situation. I heard about a couple. The woman went away on a business trip to a conference. She called back home a day or two later to see how things were going, and she was talking to her husband. He said, "Oh, by the way, your cat died." She said, "How could you do that to me? I'm so far away from home. You know how dear that cat was to me. You should have broke it to me gently. You should have said, well, the cat got out the door and he got up on the roof and I haven't been able to get him down. And then the next time I called, you could have said, well, the cat's still up there and he won't eat anything. And then finally, a day or two later, you could have said, well, you know, the cat fell off the roof and died. That way I'd have had some time to at least prepare for it." The husband apologized, and a day or two later she called and asked how things were going, and there was a long pause, and he says, "Well, your mother's up on the roof." God understands our prayer situation. There are times when we can't go through the ritual, we can't do the things we know that we ought to do in prayer. We just have to blurt it out. We just have to unload on God. Secondly, we need to realize that only disciples can really pray this prayer. Third, notice the words, "I, me, and my," do not appear in this prayer at all. The prayer comes from a heart that is committed to God and to others. Think of it this way. I cannot say "our" if I live only for and think only of myself. I cannot say "Father" if I live each day like an orphan. I cannot say "Who art in heaven" if I'm only focused on getting things here. I cannot say "Holy be your name" if I'm not living the way Jesus lived. I cannot say "Thy kingdom come" if I'm not building God's kingdom day by day. I cannot say "Thy will be done" if I do not obey God's word and will. I cannot say "on earth as it is in heaven" if I'm not serving God here and now. I cannot say "give us this day our daily bread" if I'm not helping others who have needs. I cannot say "forgive us our debts" if I hold a grudge. I cannot say "lead us not into temptation" if I place myself in temptation's path. I cannot say "deliver us from evil" if I do not put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say "thine is the kingdom" if I'm not 100% loyal to the King of Kings. I cannot attribute the power to God if I live a powerless life. I cannot give the glory to God if I focus only on myself and my pride. I cannot say "forever" if my life's horizon is bounded only by the here and now. The Lord's Prayer contains six petitions. The first three address who God is, our relationship with God, Father, our reverence to God, "Hallowed be thy name," our resolution to God, "Thy kingdom, thy will." We get all wrapped up in our agenda, our wishes, our pride. These three have to come. The relationship, the reverence, the resolution have to come before we can move on in prayer. The second three address who we are. We need God's provision. Give us. We need God's pardon. Forgive us. We need God's protection. Lead us. Deliver us. Notice that these three deal with all of ourselves: present needs, past deeds, and our future. And with all of God: God the Father, our Creator and Sustainer; God the Son, our Redeemer and Savior; God the Holy Spirit, our Guide and Strength and Comforter. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "My religion is summed up in the first two words of the Lord's Prayer: Our Father." Our deals with the relatedness of all of humankind. Everybody in the news, in hospitals, in funerals, in prison, in third world nations. The only way that we can pray this is when we reach out our arms around the world. Someone once prayed, "Lord, forgive us for looking at the world with dry eyes." Do you realize that in the Old Testament, the term Father in relation to God is only used seven times, and then it's just kind of a remote term? The word Father is a definition of who God is. Although for us today, it's an imperfect definition, because very often our concept of earthly fathers is imperfect, and that's all we've got to work on. There was a counselor who worked with children from the inner city, from the ghetto. He said he couldn't refer to God as Father because most of the children that he dealt with, when they thought of a father, they pictured a person who was always drunk or on drugs or who beat them and their mothers. The chaplain at King County Correctional Facility in Seattle, Washington, said that 80% of the men and 60% of the women in that facility did not have a good relationship with their fathers. So he had to be careful even when he used the Lord's Prayer. If our human father was gone most of the time, we might feel that God is unavailable. If our earthly father was verbally, physically, or sexually abusive, we'll be fearful of God and unable to trust Him. We'll try to keep a safe distance from Him. If our earthly father never spent time with us or affirmed us, we may feel of little worth, especially toward God. If our earthly father was judgmental and critical, guess what our image of God might be? Many atheists and agnostics today have very poor father figures in their lives. Jesus referred to God as Father 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount and a total of 70 times in the Gospels. Father addresses birth, provision, protection, and inheritance. To be a child of God implies from us our respect and obedience in honor. If we believe these two words, our Father, it settles our relationship with the unseen world. Many people around the globe have many gods. They worship the rocks and they worship the trees and they worship the storms and they worship the lightning and all of these other things. Our Father settles that for us. It settles our relationship with the seen world. We have questions and doubts about so much about what happens. My Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. It settles our relationship with others. Everyone is our brother and sister. It settles our relationship with self. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ of all the riches of heaven. It settles our relationship with God. God is a loving heavenly parent who's always caring for me. Three things in closing that we need to consider every day. First of all, do we pray, Father, and then go through life acting like we're an orphan? Number two, we need to realize that when we get closer to God, we also get closer to each other. I heard it explained one time, think of a wagon wheel with the spokes on it. You got the outer rim, you've got the spokes, you've got the hub. We're the spokes. And as those spokes get closer to the hub, they also get closer to each other. When you and I get closer to God, it ought to draw us together. We're going to sing in a few minutes, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." That's what it's all about. Somebody said that true worship. Now, I was 50 years old when I finally went back to seminary and got my master's degree. And they had all kinds of stuff they tried to teach us. You notice I said tried. Okay? But they had all of these things about what worship could be and should be and would be and ought to be and all the different ways to do it and all this sort of thing. But somebody said, and I like this, that true worship is like a group hug. That's the way it ought to be. We're reaching out to allow God to take us in God's arms. And in turn, we're reaching out to our brothers and sisters and drawing them in closer to. And finally, number three, we need to realize that we do have a Heavenly Father, and He's big enough to handle all of our needs, all of our failures, and all of our relationships. Our Father. Next week, we're going to look at who art in heaven and hopefully discover some more about the great and wonderful God that we serve. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would prepare us for whatever may lie ahead today. Remind us that it's under your control. May we give you the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Shall we stand together as we sing, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God"?
You love us, Jesus.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Oh, I'm so glad. Come on, let's sing that chorus one more time. If your heart is happy, let your face know it, okay? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. Family of God. Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad for your love and for your grace in our lives. We pray that as we go through life this week, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to flow and show through us, that people might notice that there is hope, that there is joy, that there is peace in the midst of everything that's going on. Go now with us. Fill us to overflowing with your loving grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.